shooting from the lip.
We're taking no prisoners here.
Real opinions for real people.
John Gaunt, shooting from the lip.
Over the next half hour here at Radio Sputnik, we're going to be shooting from the lip with our very own John Gaunt. I'm Craig Johnson in the controls today. Now, Gaunty, there's an old joke about having a couple of A-levels. That's mugging and shoplifting. But that's not as much as a joke, is it, as the government's handling of this GCSE and A-levels fiasco.
Well, the problem is, it is a comedy of errors, but it's more of a tragicomedy for these kids because, one, they've been all completely messed about, and then the news overnight that, you know, the practical exams are not going to give the results today. It's GCSEs down here today, and they reckon a third of kids are going to get A's. Now, I've been doing exam result day for 30-odd years on the radio and on the TV, and I always hate the way they say, oh, they're easier now or they're harder. You know, there's always a way of putting down the kids. But with this comedy, it's turned into a tragicomedy because these kids have had all of this nonsense, none of it their fault, all to do with COVID-19. Gavin Williamson is a dunce. Frank Spencer must be sacked. Now, I understand he offered his resignation and Boris didn't accept it, probably because he was busy packing his camping gear, if you believe the spin. So we've now got a position where these kids will forever be tainted because people will say, when did you pass your A-levels or your GCSEs? And they'll go, oh, that's the year of COVID. And so people won't believe them. Plus, a load of kids are going to go to university. There's going to be too many kids at university. How the hell are they going to socially distance? And I'm afraid, did they not know the exam results were coming in August, both in Scotland and indeed in England and Wales and Northern Ireland? It's an absolute failure of this inept government. And the buck has to stop first and foremost with Williamson. He should be sacked. And secondly, Boris, he's got to start getting a grip. Why on earth is he on holiday?
Yeah, is he just hiding out, John?
Yes, that's my opinion. There's rumours swirling, even in the right-wing press, in the broadsheets, that basically he just can't be bothered. He's had enough. Now, he's had a terrible year, right? He's had COVID himself. One could say maybe that was incompetence. He was the one bragging, not wearing a mask, telling us we don't need a mask, allowing Cheltenham to go ahead on the 12th of March and shaking everybody's hands. But so he has been very poorly, at death's door, if we believe them, which I probably do believe he was very poorly. Then he's had a baby, which is a lovely thing to happen, but it really knackers you. I know, I've had two, but not personally, and that would be a story for you. I know that's difficult, right? Everybody deserves a holiday, but we're in the middle of a pandemic. We've now got this exam fiasco. We're in the biggest recession stroke depression ever. Rishi Sunak's eat out to help out is a complete and utter disaster in terms of what's happening in those restaurants and pubs. And there's a direct link between the cases going up, isn't there, and the fact that the pubs and restaurants have opened. What should have happened is we should have got the schools working properly and we should have got people back to work. But the way they've done it, I don't think people are ever going to go back to work en masse. They're certainly not going to commute. And the chances of our children being back at school in September are almost zero, in my opinion. He's lost the dressing room because people are worried about their children. They are worried about it. So what's he done? He's disappeared. And I'm afraid he should be back in Westminster, cracking the whip and moving forward. And it would seem the British public agree with me, because if you look at the polls this morning, it appears that Labour are narrowing the gap. Now, in all of this, before you start getting the green pen out or start sending emails into Sputnik, I don't think Labour would have done any better. I know this is an unprecedented event, but I'm afraid Boris is no wartime hero and we're in a war. But the first thing he's got to do is get back. This country is heading to the rocks.
What should Boris's priorities be? He's got a lot on his plate. Should it be the economy first, getting people back to work? What should it be?
Well, first and foremost, he's got to sack Frank Spencer Williamson immediately. Send out a clear signal. 2. I think the Rishi Sunak, it's nearly over anyway, but that money should have gone straight to the hospitality industry. It didn't need to go via the customers, because all it's done is moved Friday, Saturday and maybe Sunday to Monday, Tuesday and Wednesday, and now people are getting stroppy in the pubs and stuff. He should have made an absolute priority of getting children back to school and then us back to work. But it doesn't work if there's no clarity. You know, you can go in Sainsbury's or Asda or Lidl or wherever you shop, Morrison's. When you walk in there, you've got to have a mask on. But the shop workers don't. So you can be standing next to somebody filling a shelf. And is this virus so clever? I mean, Hancock said yesterday, it's safe to go to work. So how clever's the virus? Oh, you're at work. I'm not going to give you it. Oh, you're in a pub. There you go. You're dead. It's nonsense. It's almost like, you know, people telling you you can be struck down by lightning for blaspheming. There's no clarity. That's the bottom line. And, you know, he's followed the science. Why doesn't he admit that the science he was following was probably wrong? And now the way they want to pay charges up to £3,200 if we don't wear a mask on multiple occasions, it's just all rubbish. I don't know if he can get back control, if I'm honest with you. I mean, you know, let's talk about the positives. The positives are the deaths are in decline, but we've got to get to a situation where people feel confident. People going to school, people going to work, that will start. But he's got it all around the wrong way, in my opinion, right from the word go, when he refused to wear a mask, when he told us Cheltenham could go ahead. I don't know whether he can recover. I don't think he'll get elected again. And then God help us if Keir Starmer gets in. It's just going to be a nightmare. We are in a very, very difficult time. And then meanwhile, up there in Scotland, you've got Nicola Sturgeon, who's just taken advantage of it to push the SNP at every single opportunity. Upstaging Boris with the press conferences. I mean, she's been a disgrace. She's used it for pure political capital. And I don't think you should do that in a pandemic.
No. Matt Hancock, who you just mentioned there, John, yes, Matt Hancock, what a name. Anyway, he scrapped Public Health England this week, but many people are saying it's a bit risky, it's also a little bit unjust. What's your take on that?
Well, they're just passing the book quicker than the England rugby team, aren't they? Pass the ball. I've not really got much time for Public Health England. I think they're useless. I think they've been useless during this pandemic as well. But they're the ones that Boris was following. It's just a quango, which is overfunded and overstaffed. However, he's not talking about getting rid of it. He's just talking about a new organisation that will be just as useless. And proof of that is the woman he's appointed, Dido. I mean, she hasn't really released a good record, has she? Oh, it's not the same one. But anyway, Dido, who is now in charge, that's weird. Isn't it? Because she's a Tory peer. And isn't she the woman who ran the telephone company that had the biggest data breach in history? Isn't she the woman who spent, effectively, £11.8 million of our money on track and trace and on an app that doesn't work? Yeah, that's the woman. Oh, we'll put her in charge. That sounds like a good idea, doesn't it, Boris? It's jobs for the boys or the girls. It stinks, really, doesn't it? He's not even got on top of that. And Hancock, I mean, he's power mad. I mean, I saw him interviewed yesterday, and he just reminded me of Herr Flick out of, what was that dreadful, Hello, Hello. Yeah, because it's as if he delights in telling us we're all going to die. He just needs the big black leather coat. And, you know, I think he's going a bit power crazy, him. And this sounds like I'm being really, really negative. Like I say, there are some positives. The fact that the amount of deaths are going down. But, you know, it's summer, so you'd expect that. I am worried sick that come the winter, they're going to go up and we're going to send the kids back to school. I just think, basically, Boris and Hancock went into the lockdown too late. It should have been March the 10th, even maybe the beginning of March. They didn't learn the lessons of places like South Korea. They were almost racist in, oh, we Brits know what we're doing. We're following the science. The Chuckle Brothers of Valance and Witty, who you probably notice now, are missing in action. I don't think they're agreeing with what Boris is doing. Then he realised the economy was going into a complete nosedive, so he wants people back at work. And I think he's treating people like lab rats, but I don't think people are going to go back until they're convinced. They've created this problem. And also, there's so many people, because there's no clarity, they then buy into conspiracy theories like, you know, the masks and the vaccination and even like the microchipping wild conspiracy around Bill Gates. They've got to get a grip. Give us a clear policy. Tell us the facts. Treat us like adults, not children, or like mushrooms, keeping us in the dark and feeding us the you-know-what.
And you mentioned Nicola Sturgeon a few moments ago, making political gain in Scotland. A panel-based poll shows support for independence in Scotland at 55% now. Should Scotland get another referendum, John?
They can have another referendum if they want. I personally believe, and have always believed, we're stronger as a union. I always think there's a central contradiction. Nicola Sturgeon doesn't want to be in the union of the United Kingdom, but she wants to be in a bigger union. Look, if the EU was any good, it would have solved the migration problem, wouldn't they? We wouldn't have children dying on the beaches in Calais. And also, as well, you know, why do you want to be part of a bigger union where you don't have control? You don't even know what currency they would use in Scotland. Look, I'm all for referendums, although, ER, put this in your diary, I agree with Georgie Galloway. That's the first time I've ever said that. If you're going to have a referendum for Scotland independence, everybody, and I know Andrew Neil agrees with this as well, everybody should have a vote. Everybody who was born in Scotland. So that, I think, would change the situation as well. But I do think that even Sean Connery, who is, of course, your great independent man, Mr. James Bond, even though he's lived in Marbella for the last 40 or 50 years, he should get a vote as well. But I do think we're stronger together. I do think Sturgeon is playing a very dangerous game. But I can't deny the polls because they think the Scottish, a lot of the Scottish now believe she's had a good pandemic compared to Boris. Well, that's also because she's had a party political broadcast every day with her press conferences, and she's nicked all the ideas and the announcements 2 hours earlier than Boris. So it's up to Scotland. I'm all for democracy. Let's have a vote, but let's all the Scottish people vote for it. I mean, I'd even go further and be a bit controversial. Why can't the whole of the United Kingdom vote for it? Because you know what? Nicola would get her wish then, because I think a lot of English people are fed up to the back teeth of subsidising people in Scotland. Ooh, Gaunty, don't get too controversial.
And how do you think, John, Scotland could actually support itself if it did become independence?
It can't, can it? They always go on about the water, they always go on about the oil, it's almost exhausted, and they go on about whiskey. Look, it can't. That's the bottom line. Scotland's a massive landmass, as you know, but most of the people, 5 million, live in the central belt between Glasgow and Edinburgh. Don't get me wrong, I lived in Scotland for 3 years. My daughter was born there. It's a fantastic country. And on so many levels, it's a better country than England. There's less snobbery and the rest of it. I like Scotland, but I believe that Scotland, England, Northern Ireland and Wales are stronger together. So I don't think they can. Even if you dismiss the Barnett formula, you've still got to see that England basically subsidises Scotland. And if we don't, why hasn't she taken on more of the tax issues? Why hasn't she decided to do more of her own budget and income raising? She hasn't done that, or the SNP haven't done that, because they know they can't survive. I think George Galloway, people like David Coburn, they've got into bed together, not literally, metaphorically. There's him as a staunch, I guess, unionist and a staunch Brexit party person in there with Galloway, although Galloway, of course, wanted us to leave the EU as well. And they're saying this isn't the right way for Scotland. I think it's a very interesting development, George Galloway's party, and I think he needs to be watched. And I think everybody can learn from some of the things he's saying about the future of Scotland. That's just my view, and I'm not a George Galloway fan.
Okay, we'll get more of your views in just a second right here on Radio Sputnik.
Shooting from the lip.
We are shooting from the lip right here in Radio Sputnik. Gaunty, I've got to ask you about all these migrants trying to get into the UK. Firstly, I want to ask you, are we being tough enough on them? Should we have the Navy in the Channel trying to, well, put people off from coming here?
Well, Unfortunately, we shouldn't have the Navy, but we're going to have the Navy. The simple facts are over 4,000 people have already got in via Dover this year. That's more than in the whole of the previous 12 months. That's because then they were coming through the Channel Tunnel and on the ferries. COVID has basically stopped that. Listen, I've got nothing against an individual wanting to get out of whatever country they come from and coming to somewhere like the United Kingdom. They want to better themselves. I understand this. So therefore, as individuals, I've got nothing against them. However, we have an asylum system and an immigration system, and if they want to come and live here, whether they're economic migrants or they're asylum seekers, of course, if they're asylum seekers, why aren't they applying in France or any of the other seven countries they've come through on the way from the Sudan rather than in the United Kingdom? But I haven't got anything against the individuals, but we cannot support queue jumpers. We cannot support the people traffickers. These are gangs. These are organised gangs, both French and British, who are bringing these people in, often associated with the drug trade and, of course, with sex slavery and prostitution. The uber-liberals who talk about, you know, the poor plight of the refugees and the rest of it, right? We all know the majority of these people are economic migrants. Now, if they want to come and live here, they can apply and we'll decide that whether they can or not. But why should someone who gets in a rubber dinghy in Calais get here before somebody who's part of the Commonwealth? I don't know, an Australian, a Jamaican, right? Or somebody from anywhere else in the world, a Pakistani, an Indian. Why should these people jump the queue? Answer, they shouldn't. We need immigrants of all levels, and we are one of the most generous countries and tolerant and open countries in the world. We've just offered up to 3 million people in Hong Kong the right to come and settle here. Britain is a better place because of immigration. So I'm not anti-immigration, but it has to be well managed. And the Liberals who are allowing this people trade to carry on, they're the villains in all this. I couldn't believe it yesterday. That poor lad, 16 years old, he used a spade as a paddle. He'd only just got off the shore at Calais, and then he got capsized, I presume, and he's dead on the beach near Sangay. Can you believe it? Some of these refugee stroke groups, you know, caravans for Calais and the rest of them, they start bleating that Priti Patel should be sacked, that it's our fault, that our policy is fascist, that we don't just let these people in if they get to Britain. It's our fault. Same with an MP in Calais. She said, it's our fault. No, it's not. If you patrolled your waters and if you were as strict as plucking these illegals out of the water as you are of nicking all the fish in the channel, maybe we wouldn't have such a problem. Britain and France must work together. Another reason why the EU doesn't work, because this should have been stopped immediately. And any migrant who gets to our shores illegally, we should obviously give them a hot meal, give them dry clothes, wrap them in blankets, put them on an air-conditioned coach, all the time filming this, by the way, take them to the nearest ferry port or planes and send them back. We should not be putting them up in a 4-star hotel at our expense where they can moan about the meals. Look, these people, undoubtedly, these illegals, have saved some hotels. How about saving some of our ferry companies and airlines now by using them to send them back? And I joke, but I say, why don't we film it? They've all got mobile phones, and then people will see we're getting tough. We've got to put them off. Otherwise, the tragedy, and it was a tragedy, I don't want to see people dying on the beaches of France or indeed of England. It's a terrible tragedy that 16-year-old drowned, because drowning is one of the worst ways to die, as you know. And I just say that's disgusting. But the fault for that lies with these professional charities. Irony of irony that we, the British taxpayer, fund effectively in Calais, and the Liberals who say basically let them all in. No way should we do that. We need to be tougher, but it's probably already too late.
Do you believe that somebody who, say, let's comes all the way from Sudan or somewhere else and they make it to Europe, but surely, John, they have to make it through either Spain to France or Greece all the way through France to the UK? Are they genuine asylum seekers, or is this about money?
They're all economic migrants. There'll be a few of them. I noticed now the BBC loved it. They found a pregnant woman all in black, didn't they? And they filmed it from every angle on the beach. And so did the Guardian. Oh, we've got a woman! We've we've got a woman, you know, we've got somebody in a wheelchair, we've got a baby. But the majority, let's be fair, the majority are young men in leather jackets. The cliche's there because the cliche's true, on their mobile phones. That's what's happening. And I'm sorry, I don't blame them wanting to get out of that country. I don't blame them wanting to come to Britain because, you know, they want to come here mainly because we speak the language of the world. There's already settled communities here. There's already a black, in inverted commas, economy they can disappear into. I know why they want to come here rather than stay in France. And I even agree with Priti Patel when she says the French are a kind of a more racist nation. People went up in arms about that, but it's pretty true. Look at the way they've dealt with the Algerians and put them in ghettos outside Gay Paris. They, you know, they are not as liberal as we are as a nation, and so that's why they want to come. And of course the benefits and the rest of it. And also Nigel Farage has done a wonderful job highlighting the fact even in Priti Patel's constituency they're staying in four-star hotels. They're staying in four-star hotels in Glasgow. We saw that on the news a few weeks ago. It's the wrong signal. I do not want them treated appallingly. I don't want them treated like cockroaches, as a famous person once said. I don't want that. That's horrid. They've got to be looked after, but they have to be sent back and then they can apply for asylum there. And the rest of Europe should be helping us, but they're not, especially now with Brexit as well. It'll just get worse. So too little, too late, I'm afraid.
And moving to America, we have this election really creeping up on us. Barack Obama has crawled out the woodwork and he's accused Donald Trump of treating the leadership like a reality TV show. Gonti, what do you make of that?
I think Barack Obama should do what most presidents do, ex-presidents, and keep his mouth shut. I thought it was bad enough when he put his wife up. I mean, obviously, she's going to stand to be president for the Democrats soon, I reckon. I mean, old man Biden, I mean, not taking the mickey out of him for having dementia, but he can hardly string a sentence together and certainly can't remember the beginning of the sentence as he gets to the end of it. So he isn't going to be president. Let's be honest. If Biden won, it wouldn't be very long before his number two got the job. And then I wouldn't be surprised if Michelle Obama comes in as vice president. That's what's happening, is a manoeuvring. Right from the day, well, before Trump even got elected, he had to fight not only the Democrats, the whole of the mainstream media, including the Clinton News Network. He also had to fight his own party. He was doing a good job. He was doing a good job. America was becoming great again. He was a tough president. He was standing up against the Chinese. Look what he did in North Korea. If you believe the UAE and Israel agreement, he's made some big steps. He also got more black people, young black lads, into education and into work than Barack Obama did in 8 years. So now Barack Obama's coming in slagging him. Don't get me wrong, Trump has been an absolute imbecile when it comes to COVID-19. All that nonsense about not wearing a mask and all the rest of it and not treating it seriously. That's what's going to do for him, if anything does for him. But I still think in the end, when it comes to it, the Americans will probably still vote for him, especially with the electoral college system over there. I hope so, because God help us if Biden gets in power. But I think it's all a bit distasteful, especially the attack from Obama last night. It's not his role. As a former president, I don't think he should be doing that. But it's hard to support Trump at the moment with some of the things he's doing, although I think he might well be proved right. Well, there's certainly more, how do I put this? There's more medical opinion swinging behind him and the use of that controversial drug that I can't even pronounce for COVID. These are difficult times. And I listened to the BBC Radio 2 this morning and I heard the news there. It started with something about Obama, then it went on to another story, then it was about Trump, and then it went on to Biden in the polls, the official nomination of his running mate. It was like three stories out of six were all effectively slagging off Trump. So that's what he's up against. But some of it he brings on to himself, doesn't he?
Yeah, well, he's certainly a character, isn't he? To say the least. But, you know, let's just picture the scene then, because Biden is ahead in the polls. How do you think it would go if the Democrats got back in?
It would be an absolute disaster, just as if Labour got in. So, you know, people say to me, well, Boris and Rishi have spent more money than even Corbyn wanted to. Well, it's true. We're all socialists now, in inverted commas. Big state has come. Big government is here. And I think the same would happen in the United States of America. I think it would be an absolute disaster. One, because I don't think Biden would even serve the first year, let alone a whole term. And what ideas have they got? And if they're such a dynamic party, is he the best they can do? Maybe they should have gone straight for Michelle Obama because at least she's got charisma. He's got the charisma of a brick. It just isn't going to work. It just isn't going to work. But I don't think he'll get elected. And if he does, I think it'll be very, very narrow. I also think there could be a shock along the line. Maybe Trump will say, I ain't standing. I don't know. I also don't like the fact that it's going on. I think they should have extended it for 6 months while the pandemic. There's such a nightmare over their postal voting system. The same, of course, here in Britain. I've never understood postal votes. Only postal votes for military personnel serving abroad would be my rule, because we know in this country certain communities have, cajoled and voted for people. It's a corrupt system. It's one man, one woman, one vote, and you go to a polling station. And if you're too lazy to get off your ass and do it, then you don't deserve the democratic right to vote, in my opinion.
Now, back to the UK and the brother of the Manchester Arena bomber. Oh, I can hear the disgust in your voice, Gonny. He refused to leave his cell to hear testimony from bereaved relatives.
Found guilty of 22 murders, don't forget, and I think one case of manslaughter. He provided the nails and the bolts that they put into the rucksack that killed these little children in Manchester over a year ago. He was in Libya. We brought him back. He wouldn't come out of the cell. And the judge said, I'm powerless to do it. Well, I'll tell you what, let's take the Singapore view. Let's pull him up the stairs by his hair. Let's pull him up by his eyelashes. However we get him upstairs, he needs to stand in that dock and listen to the relatives of the victims. He needs to understand what's happened. And then the ridiculous thing, he's got a life sentence, but it's not a whole life sentence because he was under the age of 21, would have happened. We are a soft touch. The papers this morning are going on about this guy called Ye Ming Yao, who's a Brit who went to Westminster School. It's £41,000 there, right? He went back to Singapore. He got done for drugs. He was bringing in crystal meth and then cannabis as well. He got 20 years in jail. The Daily Mail and the Sun and the tabloids are going mad about this. Priti Patel is saying it's disgusting because now, after two appeals, the Singaporean authorities have lashed him. 22 or 24 lashes, I think it was, on his bare buttocks. And the papers are saying, oh, you know, it's barbaric, it's savage, so is pretty. Hold on a minute. Let's look at the comments section of those newspapers. And nearly every single comment says, well, it might be a bit savage, but at least he'll learn a lesson and he won't do it again. And when you compare it to Abidi, when you compare it to those three guys who were involved in the death, I've got to be careful what I say, the death of PC Andrew Harper, I tell you what, if you had a vote tomorrow, Craig, most people would say, get out the whip. I've got an idea as well. We could do it at half time when the football starts. It'd be more entertaining, most of the football we watch, especially Scottish football. But, you know, so I'm half joking, but I can't get upset about this. The guy did the drugs, sold the drugs, then he was out on some sort of bail, and he did it again. You know, and then I can't lose sleep over that. And our country has just gone too soft. I mean, you got Lizzie, Andrew Harper's widow, saying she wants life for cop killers. Well, the majority of people in this country would agree with her. But the establishment elite, left and right, Craig, they'll never have it. They won't accept it. I just wonder today whether the Daily Mail and the Sun and those other newspapers are looking at the comments coming in and going, I wonder if there's a connection between this response and the fact that the dinosaur press is dying. They're just completely out of tune with the British public.
Absolutely. John Gaughan, thank you for Shooting From The Lip.
Shooting From The Lip.
If you've got a view, I want to hear it. If you agree, I want to hear it. If you disagree, get in touch. Tell me why I'm wrong, but you better have a good argument.
This is Shooting From The Lip.